Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word that you reveal your truth to us. Lord, we thank you even as we look on the subject of judgment this morning. We're thankful that you have saved us from judgment, saved us from your wrath, saved us from your judgment. And we thank you for that. And I pray as we read this morning, you would just give us insight, open our hearts to what you have to say as we read your word and to what it says. I pray you'd anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, and I pray you open each heart that they would receive of the Spirit. So we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what you're going to show us this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 17 and start verse 3. Now, there was I wanted to say a lot more this morning than I have time for, so I can't. I had to summarize it, but if you want to see, read more, all right, you can. Joe puts the messages on the web, and he puts the notes. So in my notes, I put more. So if you want to read more, there's more in my notes. And what I'm not going to share this morning, I put in blue. Okay, so you can read the blue and say, Wallace didn't share that with everybody because it's just too much. So anyway, if you want to look at some more of this, please feel free to do that. So we open up judgment. Where do we go from here, all right? Revelation 17:3. And he, this is John talking, and he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names. And it had 7 heads and 10 horns. All right. This is, the pictures that, God is giving us in Revelations. And this is to reveal something to us. Now, this picture right here that the Lord has presented us, it's a picture of the world system, the moral and religious and economic system from God's point of view. This is how God sees the earth without Christ. So, this is his view. So when you see God pouring out his judgments, this is what he sees. This is what he's pouring his judgment out on. And he describes it with this picture. Now as we look at this, and as we flow through the book of Revelations, with the conclusion, this is chapter 17, with the conclusion of chapter 16, we truly have an end of God's wrath and Jesus' return. It really clearly states that at the end of 16. So what we have here in chapter 17 and 18, it provides, it kind of as it has done all the way through Revelations, it takes a pause and it steps back and it gives us an overview of what it just said. And so this is an overview of the worldwide judgment from the earth's point of view. All right? We saw the bowls and everything poured out from God's point of view. Now we see it from the earth's point of view. And so this is an addendum, if you will, of God's view of a world without Christ. We have this picture. And from this view, God has described his destruction of the world and the world system. This is the world on which God pours out his wrath, the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. Now, two characters here, the prostitute and the beast. I mean, you can't do anything but go south on this. I mean, it's just like, what are you going to do? So the prostitute is the world's counterfeit to everything God intended. It's a counterfeit. Counterfeit to everything God intended. Okay, now the book of Revelation is contemporary. All right, it's contemporary because we've seen this down through the ages. It's not anything new. We've seen it down through the ages. Yet what we see now, we see its fulfillment in the time of Antichrist. In the time of Antichrist, it's all coming to a fulfillment. We've had pieces of it going along, and we've seen these terrible things happen, but now we see the fulfillment of it. Now, at the time of Antichrist. So let's look, and I'm just going to read through some verses here, and identify the characteristics of this great prostitute. Now, this is God's name. Okay, I didn't name this lady. Okay, God named her. Now, so in Revelation 17:1, it says this, "The judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters." Okay, now, with that statement, I'm going to jump down to Revelation 17, verse 15, because it explains to us the many waters, you know? You think she's sunbathing. No, this is not what she's doing, all right? It says, verse 15, and the angel said to me, the waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. Now, what's important about that? It's worldwide. It's worldwide. It's not a specific place. It is worldwide by this definition. So that's who she's seated upon. She comes on. So she has worldwide influence in this section. Now, going back up to verse 3, it says this. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. We're back to this beast again. And she's sitting on this beast. Right? I mean, it just, she's relaxed sitting on this beast. So she's being carried along with this beast. They're kind of going the same direction. All right? And I think that's probably the key. Then it says this. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the earth's abominations. Okay? So what we have in this specific part of the title is a divine mystery that this prostitute, okay, is the mother of all earth's prostitutes. Okay, so now you got the whole picture. And again, the word is important because people have various interpretations of how they look at this, but you need to look at what their picture here. It's not just her, it's her offspring. Okay, so it's and it's permeating the world that comes from her. Okay, and so she is the mother. What you see in her, she is the mother of offspring just like her, just like her. So you have this world vision. Therefore, and here's another important part here. Therefore, she cannot be merely ancient Babylon. She can't be merely ancient Rome. She cannot be merely Jerusalem. All right. Because these are only her children. These are only her children. She is the mother of them all. So I said, oh, it could be Rome. No, Rome is just one child. It's bigger than Rome. Oh, it's Babylon. Well, that was just one child. It's bigger than Babylon. Oh, it's Jerusalem. No, that was her child. It's bigger than Jerusalem. Okay? So they were elements of who she is overall. You got that? Because that's important, because that really impacts how you look at this whole section, how other people look at it. Babylon cannot be confined to any one historical manifestation, past or future. Babylon has multiple equivalents. Multiple equivalents. And you have to get that from the text of the information. You read through the text. The text tells you this when you read closely. So Babylon, in this case, this deductive thinking flow here, Babylon is found wherever there is satanic deception. Wherever you find satanic, that's Babylon. Okay? That's the move in the people, in their belief system, Now, the prostitute destroys anything that interferes with her sin, pleasure, or false religion. So she's functioning, so you see it's functioning through the world with Satan's deception, and she feeds upon herself out of, you'd say, her representative flesh of her own sin, of her own pleasure, of her own false religion. False religion feeds into one's own flesh. And so as a result, we have in chapter 17, verse 6, we see an offshoot of her sinful lifestyle. And it says this, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. See, she hates anything inconsistent with her lifestyle. That's uninteresting. So inconsistent with the Christian lifestyle, she hates that because it speaks against her lifestyle. And so whether it's religion, sin, pleasures, or whatever. Now with that, you can just kind of make a note, and I think it's important, says, do not take lightly all the anti-Christian attacks you hear over the news. It is a preview of the prostitute riding the beast. So it is. It's a preview. And this has happened in the past and happens in the future. And it's going to be fulfilled in the time of Antichrist. Then it ends with this on the prostitute describing her. And it says, "And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth." Okay? Now the woman and the great city are one. They're one. Yet this city cannot be just an historical one. It is the great city. It's the mother city. The mother of every evil system opposed to God in history. And so this is, you see the judgment from God's point of view, so this makes sense as he looks at the world, as he looks at the world. Now, so we have looked at this sweetheart, all right? Okay, now we're going to look at the other character here. And here's the beast. Now, the beast that she's riding along, the beast and his predecessors, the beast and his predecessors, indulge the prostitute, all right? They're riding along together, and they're different. They're two different things. But this beast and his predecessors indulge the prostitute. Contemporary, because we've seen this past, evil leaders, evil government, we've seen this in the past. It's contemporary, yet it's fulfilled at the time of Antichrist, who was mortally wounded and healed, reigned 42 months, and killed by Jesus. Amen? Now, we have to remember this because people say, well, the Antichrist was this person, or this. No. The Antichrist we're talking about is the one who was mortally killed, wounded, and healed. He reigned 42 months, and Jesus personally kills him. That's an identification, okay, that we know who this is. Now, there's even in John, when he wrote in the book 1 John, he made some thing. He talks about the Antichrist there, and he says, and we know there are many Antichrists. There's predecessors that do terrible things in the past and will continue to do terrible things. There are many Antichrists, but there is one, the Antichrist, at the end that rules 42 months, is wounded, killed, and healed, and then Jesus comes and kills him personally. There's no question who this guy is, all right? So we know that, so we understand that as we move through. So here is this beast. Now, I see what Revelation has to say about this guy. Don't you love this picture? You're at nighttime. You say, if you don't be good to me, I'm going to show you this picture. You know, I mean, you get the kids to go to sleep. I'll get there. Anyway, so here we go. The beast. The beast. In chapter 17, verse 3. I saw a woman sitting on the scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. Now, the beast. This is the beast in chapter 13. Now, you really need, if you didn't hear the message, chapter 12 and 13, you need to do, because you're not going to understand the characters, all right? This is kind of a linchpin, so you know who these people are. So this beast, his description, everything, is the same one we see in chapter 13. This is where we're introduced, which is also inseparable from the dragon we see in chapter 12. So you see that the beast and dragon are connected. The beast and Satan, in fact, I think the beast, you know, I think the dragon indwells the beast, okay? I think the dragon functions through the beast. The beast is his avenue. It's like incarnate Satan. But you see this in chapter 12 and 13. Now, so we see this person, okay, the beast. Repeat, because I'm going to repeat it again because it's important. The beast who was mortally wounded, this is repeated, he's healed, rules 42 months, okay? And then also, Jesus personally kills him. So this is the guy. So now let's read what it says about him in Revelation 17:8. And the beast that you saw was and is not and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast because he was and is not and is to come. John is told that the beast once was, now is not, and will come out of the abyss. This clearly is a paraphrase of chapter 13. It's a repeat of chapter 13, where the beast is mortally wounded and then healed. He was, he was not. He was to come. Same guy. It's the same guy. And he parallels this. Now, and then also the language is so important, so similar. And then the astonishment of the world's inhabitants are identical. See, his death and being healed is key to his popularity. Okay? That's the reason that's so important. Because, I mean, he's a great guy before. But all of a sudden, his death and healing increases his popularity. And you see this, what it says in the scriptures. And so they worship the beast who was healed. Who was healed. Who was dead and then healed. Now, and so they report it. And so here we have, now we come here to Revelation 17, 11. And the beast, as for the beast that was and is not. Okay, you go, what in the... But that's the way it said it all the way through it. And for the beast that won and is not, it is an eighth, and it belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. Now, when we look at this verse, and this is important to remember, when you look at this verse, we know who this guy is. Okay, 17:11, we know. I mean, it's saying the same thing, that goes, and it says it again. So we need to be... understand that it's the same person. So we know who this guy is, right? Nothing's changed in verse 17:11. The beast that was is not. But then it says, then he's the eighth and he belongs to the seventh and goes to destruction. All right? Now, we know the person is the Antichrist, the beast, by significant previously stated facts. He suffers a mortal wound. He is healed. He proclaims himself God. He reigns 42 months. He is anti-Christian. And Jesus personally kills him. All right? Now, the reason I made such a point about that, because the verse previous to this, it also says this beast will rise and he'll reign a little while. See, he's coming. The previous verse, he's going to reign a little while. What's a little while? Just guess. 42 months. Just a little while. He's just going to be around a little bit. See, 42 months. So they're identifying this guy and specifically, oh, he's got a 20-year rule. Not this guy. Okay? He got 42 months. He's got 3.5 years. And if you go back to Daniel, you can see that, it's really 7 years and it's half a year anyway. But we see that 7-year period that week. But the word that he's cut loose here is these 3.5 years. And this is just what it says. It's just what it says. Now, the reason I'm making such a big point of this is that when I look at this, so you see the beast, he's got seven heads. Okay, you see one's wounded and one comes back to life. And so this is the beast. But now you throw in this little niche and it says he's really the eighth. Okay, so he's the eighth that's kind of controlling all the rest of them. Then it says this. He goes, five have fallen, one is, and one is to come. Get out of here. I'm thinking, who's that? Okay, who's that? And so I'm not sure, but I do know, we know who the beast is. So we have to see the beast, and then you can back in to who the others are. So we know that the beast coming out of the pit is one that's anti-God, that is attacking God's people throughout history. Now there's several views, and I mean several views on who these five are that have fallen, okay? And one is that they're the five that are fallen, they mean five previous empires that have come along, like Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Greece and Persia. And the one that is Rome now. And then there's one to come, which is Antichrist. Okay, that's good. I kind of like that one. And then some of them say, well, no, these are Roman emperors. And they have a whole list of that. And the problem with both of those is that there's holes in it. It could be, and like the Roman emperors, I mean, they leave out, you know, several of them. So it's not consistent. And then another one says, no, these are really systematic evilness units that have been, because seven is number of completeness. So this beast with seven heads is showing a number of completeness of all evil. Well, that makes sense. And so it's just showing a systematic move towards his final destruction. Okay, that's pretty good too. Then also I like this one a lot, because it said each time it puts the judgments like the seals and the trumpets and the bowls, it'll have seven, seven, seven. And on the seventh one, it feeds into a hole every time. And so this one, they say, it was seven heads, completeness of evil, and it feeds into the hole. And the eighth, he is the fulfillment. Okay, now if that's driving you crazy, it drove me crazy. All right, so all I know for sure is the eighth is the Antichrist. He is the Antichrist, and he's the 42 months, and this is the one in who Revelation all feeds around. These others somehow show the progression to get to this guy, but don't let it confuse you on who this guy is. You see what I'm saying? We know, let the factor we know who this guy is. So we'll have to back in. I have to back in the rest of them. So I'll leave that something you can read about and study at your leisure. Or read my blue notes when you look on the web. So here we have this picture. Bottom line, here we have this picture of the beast. He is the Antichrist. He is the Antichrist. And we have, again, identified him. We identified who he is. Now, here's something else. And you know this Antichrist, 10 horns, 10 crowns. You may have noticed that as we read through Revelations. Well, now we know who this is. We know what these are because it tells us for the first time here in Revelation. So closely connected to the Antichrist, we encounter 10 kings. Okay? Again, the Antichrist, one guy. We encounter 10 kings. And these 10 kings are related directly to the 10 kings in Daniel. And if you jot this down or check the note, in Daniel 7:20 through 21, Daniel 7:24, and Daniel 9:27, it all has a relation to 10 kings. And in Daniel, we see the picture for the first time of these 10 kings. And if you go back and you remember the statue, and I'm taking you back to the book of Daniel, he had this statue, and he had a gold head and a bronze chest, a silver chest and a bronze waist, and he had toes, and they said he had 10 toes. 10 toes in his kingdom. And he said the toes were 10 kings. Same guy. So there we got the connection. So you have this connection with Daniel and Revelation. So Daniel is truly a foundation for understanding Revelation. So this is what it says. You got these 10 kings that come about at the same time as the Antichrist. It says this in Revelation 17, 12 through 13. And the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour. Guess how long that is. I mean, for 1 hour. He's just going to be here a minute. You know, maybe not, maybe 50. He'll be here. He'll be here 1 hour. Just guess. 42 months. That's what. So these kings are going to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. And he ties them together. So he's got his compadres here. Okay? 10 kings. Okay? And they're going to receive power for 1 hour together with the beast. These are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. Okay? So these 10 guys, they get together. Your chief, they give him all his power, and he rules for 42 months with an iron hand. Now, this fits back with everything we've said. So, now, the 10 kings, 1 hour, is certainly the rule of the 42 months with the Antichrist and the anti-Christian rule. Anti-Christian rule. So you can see how he consolidates all this stuff, and he uses consolidated power to carry out his evilness. Now, 17:14. It says this, fascinating. It says, they, who's they? The 10 kings and Antichrist. They will make war on the Lamb. And the Lamb will conquer them. For the Lord of Lords, for he is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. So the Lamb whips these guys, okay? The ten kings and Antichrist. Now, so what we're having here is Jesus' return and the Battle of Armageddon, and this point where Jesus conquers all. This is what it is when Jesus comes back. Now, remember, up to this point, the Antichrist has made war on the saints and conquered him. Everything up to this point, that's what's happened. Antichrist made war and he conquered them all the way up here. But not here. Now they're making war on the Lamb. The Lamb comes and the Lamb conquers him. He moves in. He cleans house. But it's Jesus himself who comes in clean. It's not the church. It's not believers. It is Jesus' personal return. And we actually saw that in the last part of chapter 16. We saw that in the last part of chapter 16. So we're having this, you know, overview of the whole thing right here. So Jesus comes back, and he conquers them. He conquers them. Now, we have this prostitute that is morally and religiously self-indulgent, out of control. All right? I mean, isn't that typical? You look at the world system, and you look at world situation, you look at people, you look at the chaos, you know, beside the government, and you see the self-indulgence, you see it's out of control, you see the religious perversion and what have you. Well, what happens when you're trying to run a country, people become a pain. They become a burden. So this prostitute becomes a burden. She becomes a burden to the beast because she won't behave herself. I mean, think about a prostitute, they won't behave with anybody, all right? So this is kind of the picture you have. And then, so you have Revelation 17:6. They, the ten kings and the beast, hate the prostitute, and they destroy the prostitute. They dash her to the ground. What do? They take over. All right now I'm laying down the law, and you're going to start behaving the way I tell you to. So the beast and the kings hate the prostitute, and they take over the prostitute. So inspired by Satan, the ten kings and the beast will hate the prostitute. And throughout history, you've seen leaders and government turn on the people they were ruling. Satan hates all mankind, and his purpose is to kill and destroy. The ravaging of the whore by the monster and its horns is John's most vivid symbol of the self-destroying power of evil. That's what happened. Just within itself. I mean, Jesus didn't even have to do anything in this mess. Okay, it just does it to itself. Does this to itself. Now, so here we have, so this is the picture, okay? This is this picture up here. And this is really, and again, I want you to put, when you think, oh gosh, how can God do this? This is what God sees. What he did, he painted us a picture when he looks at the earth without Christ. That's what he sees. It's not like, oh, I guess they're so sweet, you know. It's no. He sees that, and he sees the end of what's going on. So that's his picture. So in Revelation chapter 17, 1 through 18, chapter 17, verses 1 through 18, it's the worldwide destruction of the world system, moral and religious, during the times of the seals, trumpets, and bowls of wrath. So God's pouring out all this wrath, but this is what he's pouring it out on. From his view, this is what he's pouring it out on. Now, and so you can read through that. Now, that's chapter 17. Let me move here. Look at chapter 18. Chapter 18. Now, they're connected, and so it's hard to just leave one, you know, without looking at the other. So in chapter 18, what we have, with the world system destroyed, we look specifically at the economic system by which the world system is operated. Okay, so now we're going to see the economic system. Okay, we kind of looked at the woman, okay, and she's, if you will, she's the perversion, the sin system that's functioning, okay, in her pleasure and sin. But now on the other hand, now here's, there's an economic system. All right? I mean, people still putting money in the bank, and they're trying to, you know, sell stuff and buy stuff and make money. There's an economic system going on at the same time. All right? Well, here what we have is the destruction of the economic system. Okay, separate from, but not mutually exclusive, from the woman. And so, and John's not writing a literal description, the fall of a literal city like Rome or Jerusalem, but he is portraying the destruction of a city. He describes the judgment of God on the great satanic system of evil that has corrupted Earth's entire history. So think about, let's switch gears from the prostitute and look at the economic system. Okay. By the way, anybody here lives in this, you have to function economic system. All right. So we have here the economic system. And the verse and how it introduces as we go through this, it says, fallen and fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become the dwelling place of demons. All right. So now you have the economic collapse. All right. Now, before we read this section, I'm going to make a few quick notes about the collapse of this worldwide economic system. All right. So the economic system collapse is quick and complete. Okay, it's important to know it's quick and complete. So when we're looking at the fulfillment, this thing crashes at once. I mean, the whole thing caves in at once, you know. So we don't have to wait, you know, 5 years to see we get a return on our investment. Okay, it's done. It's a done deal. And I'm just going to read through just sections of six verses real quick. Six verses of how quick and complete it is. These are six different verses. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Her plagues will come in a single day. In a single hour, your judgment has come. In a single hour, all this wealth has been laid waste. In a single hour, she has been laid waste. Babylon, the great city, is thrown down with violence and will be found no more. So it's quick. Okay? It happens quick. Now, here's something else. It's interesting about the economic system. Now, we saw the kings, they hated the prostitute, the people, out of control people. All right, we'll put it that way. But the kings love the economic system. They love the economic system. And they mourn. They're not happy like the prostitute. They're happy. They stomped her down. They're happy. But when the economic system fails, the kings mourn. Because, you know, that's their money. That's their source of income. That's how they rule, you know, in their luxury. So you have the kings mourning over the fall of the economic system is different from the prostitute. And I'll read these four verses right quick, which just shows you how the kings mourn over the collapse of the economic system. It says this, these are all from chapter 18. The kings of the earth will weep and wail over her, the economic system. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn for her. The merchants who gain wealth from her are weeping and mourning aloud. They threw dust on their heads and they weep and mourn. Failure. Economic system. Failure here. Now, let us read through this worldwide destruction of the economic system during this time. During this time of what? When is this time happening? During the time of the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. This is being poured out. And this is the time of the Antichrist, and this is the time of the 42 months. Okay? This has happened. We've seen pictures of this. You know, so, I mean, we can go back with the United States. You know, we can go, what, in the 1929? The economic system collapsed. It was one of the worst depressions ever. Okay? It's just a foretaste of what's going to happen. Just a foretaste. But so you see these things happen. You have seen pictures of this. But this is the crash of all crashes. Now, so I'm going to just read through this quickly, and you can follow on. This is chapter 18, verses 1 through 24. So we finished with the prostitute. We moved to the economic system. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become the dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. How many nations? Now that's important. Well, it's all. It's all. See? For all nations have drunk the wine of the passions of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. How many kings? Hello. The kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as the heavens, and God has remembered her iniquities. And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her as they see smoke of her burning. For in a single hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore. The merchants who gain wealth from her will stand afar off in fear and in torment, in weeping and mourning aloud. For in a single hour all this wealth has been laid waste. Now we take a view from heaven. Rejoice over her, O heavens, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. Then a mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone and he threw it into the sea. So will Babylon the Great be thrown down with violence and be found no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. How many nations? All nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who have been slain on the earth. That ends chapter 18. Now, it's important. People will say, well, this happened. They'll try to point to different things. But when you look at the totality of it, it's an end time, one Antichrist, one period of time, and one world judgment. Boom, it comes crashing. Now, we've had taste over the years, okay, and we've seen things happen and evil happening and almost, you know, kind of a minimal picture of this. But it's not the fulfillment. The fulfillment, you can't get past that this is worldwide. You can't get past, read it, any person to read through this has to see it as worldwide. Any person who receives it, just reads through it, has to see an individual at the end of time that Jesus kills. You can't get past that, all right? Now, in the past, you can say, well, people got close to it. Hitler got close to it. In fact, Hitler did a lot very similar things to this, you know, but he shot himself. All right? Okay? And then you say, well, God got him. All right? No, he shot himself. I think God got him. But anyway, Jesus comes back for the Antichrist and grabs him by his collar. All right? So it's a different picture here. Now, so as we close out here, it says the end time economic system will prove to be anti-Christian, necessitated by worshiping the beast and receiving the mark 666. Thus, the culmination of evil and the collapse of the world system, economic system, the eradication of evil will be catastrophic, worldwide, impacting every single human being. Every human. Now, here's a timeless lesson. We haven't. Are you ready to get rid of this? Here's a timeless overhead right here. The lesson to Christians. It says this. Then I heard a voice. This is from Revelation 18:4. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sin, lest you share in her plagues. You know, so the whole picture, you know, is coming out of the system, you know. Okay, get out of Ashburn, you're safe. Whew, God, no, that's not what it's talking about, you know. See, so here you have, this is definitely a cry to the tribulation saints during the Great Tribulation. You know, separate yourself. Now, you know, when they separate themselves, they're not going to have the wrath of God fall over them. Of course, the beast is going to kill them. I mean, so, but they're not falling under the wrath of God. However, this also is a call to all God's people throughout the ages to separate themselves from the evil system. That's what it is. Now, you got to operate. You got to go to the store and buy groceries, but you don't become consumed and led along by that system. All right? Christians are to separate themselves ideologically and, if necessary, physically from all the forms of Babylon. If they refuse to separate themselves, they will share in her sins and also in the divine judgments. This is addressed to professing Christians who are being seduced by Satan through the wiles of the queen prostitute to abandon their loyalty to Jesus. It's universal. But it's going to culminate at the end. It's going to culminate. And it gets worse, but it's going to culminate at the end. Now, so this is, and this goes back, you know, to the verse we've closed the last several weeks, you know. So the message, you know, for us becomes clear, you know. So it's more clear now. Turn from the prostitute and be part of the true bride of Christ. And we're going to see that. And you're going to see the church identified as the bride of Christ. See, do you see the offset? The prostitute, the bride of Christ. Got a choice. And there's no in-between ground. There's nothing in between. So, and the Lord says, the spirit and the beast say, come, spirit and the bride. Oh, my Lord. I think this beast does say, come. Okay. The spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Come out of that. Connect with the bride. Connect with the bride. Amen? Hallelujah. Why don't we just say, praise Jesus. We had communion. We're saved from judgment. All right? You see all this judgment. You say, oh, this is terrible. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You are saved from this judgment. In fact, you don't even have to be here during this judgment. The Lord, he says, you translate us in the twinkling of an eye. We're caught up to be with him. And so we just thank him for that. But at the same time, he's letting us know what's going to happen. The end of times. And even God's grace is present in the time of tribulation because he still calls his people out that they can have a home in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that we can look at it and see the truth of what you have to say and your goodness and your power and your glory. And Lord, I just thank you that we are forgiven and have a home with you. And Lord, we have a message for people come to know you, have eternal life. And Lord, they are saved from the wrath of God. They are saved from the judgment of God. And we thank you for that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.